107.3 WAAF.
They stayed rocked.
Wow.
They stayed rocked.
There's Johnny.
His boy's wife.
That's right. And John Surratt. There you are.
That's right.
And you sound good and loud and clear.
Okay.
I had to ask you, is this the original? And God, I played the hell out of this song back in the day.
Yes, it is the original.
So you were 16 years old?
I was probably 17.
By the time that, okay.
And it's funny because David Robinson from The Cars.
Yeah.
Modern Lovers, DMZ. Produced it, and just listening to it now, there's a 12-string guitar, and I remember Rick Ocasek giving me the 12-string and saying, do you want to play this? And I'm like, yes.
Wow. No way. Yeah. That's wild.
So there's two Cars on that record.
You know, that's amazing. I never knew that. Yeah. How many years have I been playing this song? And I had no clue. But you were so shy back then. I remember, you know.
Not on stage.
I'd have you on the college radio show. Not on stage, no. But I would have you on the show. And you were pretty quiet.
Yeah.
And shy. I mean, you were just a little kid.
Yeah. A little nervous, didn't
you? Yeah.
Still nervous.
Yeah. Not really, though. I mean, you're comfy with me. We've known each other for too long.
Yes.
And
I think we did the math. It's like 40 years.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I was like 16, I think.
What was your first single? What was Boys Life's first single?
It was Boys Life versus The Outlets.
Okay.
And it was Perfect Life, More Trouble for Modern Man. And we also had a song, Heroes of the Dead,
yes,
which was the first thing we released.
Yep, I remember.
Which ended up one of those Modern Method compilations.
That's
later
right.
on.
Yep. You have to send me the whole catalog. I have a bunch, but I want more.
Yeah, I have to put that together,
you know,
at some point.
I just cherish the early classics and what a scene. You know, those were the days clubs were packed.
Yes.
Guaranteed. Every single club in town, the bands were so good.
And the whole Boys Life versus The Outlets thing?
Yeah.
Was for real.
Really? How did that come about?
Girlfriends, competition.
Wow.
Some sabotaging of each other's equipment along the way.
Because you guys were the cutest boys in town.
Yeah, not really.
Oh, man. So that, we're going back to Boys Life way back in the day, and then we're coming to present. Of course, The Jam were a big band back then, too.
Yes.
Back in that era. And Paul Weller and The Jam, and now you're going to be doing a guest appearance with a pretty well-known...
Yeah, they've been around this is the 30th anniversary show.
Oh my God.
And their last show.
What?
And they just got back from touring England, which is strange, odd to me that the British would like them.
I know, because...
But they do.
The British are a tough crowd, too.
Yeah.
This is a band, they're a tribute band.
Yes.
A Jam tribute band who are doing their last show on...
Friday, June.
Yep.
January 10th.
Yep.
With the Cretans and Didn't Planet. But the reason they asked me to be the guest, to do the guest appearance.
Yeah.
Boys Life played with The Jam a couple of times. The first time we played with them was in May of 81, was at the Channel. So the night before, we get a call. The Jam at the Newton Marriott, they're bored. Can you guys take them out? And we're like,
awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
They said, just don't bring any limos. Show up in your regular cars. They don't want anything special. So we're like, okay. So we go to the Newton Marriott, walk in, there's Paul Weller's, and it's like, you know, next to, you know, there's Lennon, Ray Davies, Pete Townsend, and then there's, you know, Joe Strummer, Paul Weller, you know, the Manix.
Dang.
But The Jam were that huge to me.
Yeah.
And it's like, just walked right up to him, like, ordered a beer, and we just started, we got along right away.
That's so cool.
And so they're like, well, what are we going to do? And we're like, well, U2 are playing at the Metro, so why don't we go see U2?
Oh, man.
And so we get to the Metro, and it's me, my brothers, David and Steven, and Weller and Bruce Fox in the bass part.
Yeah.
So we get to the Metro. They wouldn't let us in because we were playing in the Channel. What? Because it was a Don Law. It was the competition.
Unbelievable.
At that time, between the clubs, it was like, no, you can't come in. You're playing at the channel.
What?
Yeah, we figured we'd just, you know, sail right in.
Oh, man.
So we're like, okay, I know the future dads are playing at the Underground. So yep. It's like, that's where we're going.
Oh, what a great little
club. So we get to the Underground.
Yep.
And 100 beers later, it's like, I say to Weller, we should play some music. He goes, what do you mean? I said, let's play some songs. We'll get up and just play.
Yeah.
He goes, what do you want to play? I said, I don't know. He goes, who's going to play? I can put the band together right now because I knew all the musicians in the house.
Right.
And so he's like, no. I'm like, come on. No, come on. And he goes, well, if Bruce says okay, I'll do it. And so I asked Bruce, look, Paul said he wants to do this. And so he's like, okay. And so we get up, and the band was Dennis and Cam from the Prime Movers.
Yeah.
Richie Parsons. Me, Paul Weller, and Bruce Foxton. And we did the Heat Wave, Slow Down. We ended up with the Batman theme, which went on for like 10 minutes. And we, you know,
oh, what a riot.
We didn't know how to end it. We kept going, na 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 na. And Bruce Foxton finally took the bass and said, that's it, it's over.
That is fabulous.
And the place, and talking about what we were talking about earlier, with pre-cell phone, internet, everything else.
Right.
Within 10 minutes, that club was packed. There was a line at the payphone. People calling, people, get down here now.
Word got out so fast back then.
And it was packed. So we finished the set. We step off stage, and who's standing in front of me and Weller? But Bono and The Edge. They heard that what happened at the Metro, and then came to see to meet up with those guys.
Oh, they heard what happened?
Yes. And so Bono walks up to Weller, and I'm standing with him.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, hey, Paul, what are you doing? How's it going? And Weller looks at him and goes, I'm hanging with my mate. And he just walked away.
Oh, no.
Like, totally.
What?
And I loved you, too, at the time, and still do.
Yeah, I mean,
it was just the classic.
It's a shame that you guys didn't continue and get Bono on stage.
Yeah. No, we were more angry that we didn't get into the Metro.
Yeah, oh, God, that's too much. That's
I wasn't having any of the, you know, I can't, you know, he blamed them.
Wow, that is a great story.
Yes.
And that's the way it was back in the day. I think that less so bands being on a pedestal, everybody was really on equal level ground. They were touring bands, too, wanting to.
Oh, yeah, we also, when we played with the Jam, it was, for the sound check, there were like 50 kids outside just to get autographs and to listen to the sound check from outside.
And they were college radio only, and they were huge.
Yes. And they, so the Jam said, let them in. And they played a half-hour set just for the kids that were in the parking lot.
Oh, wow.
So which was amazing. And then while we were playing, Weller watched our whole set, but he'd get up every once in a while and kick the back door open and let underage kids more sneak in.
Well, he knew what it was like to get locked out of the Metro, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's right. It just happened to the night before.
I don't know how they fit them all into the Underground, because that was a tiny little space. Yeah. It was tiny and it was curvy.
Yeah.
Remember?
It was it went back and then curved over.
But it was a cool space. Yeah. And now you are actually going to be... Now, what does Paul Weller think of the band that our own local boys who are tribute, 30-year-old tribute?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know.
Wouldn't it be cool if Paul Weller flew in just to hang out and celebrate? Tell us about
All My Actually, Time. I've seen him solo, and I haven't had the nerve to go up and say, hey, remember me?
Right.
But it's a good story. And I read, it was probably a month after that happened.
Yeah.
There was an interview in the NME or Melody Maker, one of the British newspapers. And they talked about doing that, and they said they had never done anything like that before. Everything is, you know, by the books, by the number, you know. That was, you know, we opened up a whole new...
Well, Boston, that's the way Boston is,
yeah.
You know, and or was, and I hope that it's still the same.
At one point, I believe you could every once in a while see Aerosmith at the Rat, if you were lucky.
Exactly.
You
Everybody
know?
Was just kind of on the same plane, and it was a community. It was truly a community. Nobody was put on a pedestal and
no.
looked down, and that was the beauty of
it. Yeah, and it also, you had art bands, punk bands, everything
right.
coexisted.
Hardcore.
Yes.
Yeah.
And well, hardcore, then they kind of drove
were a little bit later. They were a little bit after, but
not that much, though.
Not that much.
Because Boys Life coexisted with you know, Gang Green and SSD
and they,
Control.
They meshed in, too, though. I mean, they had great respect for that scene just
well,
before
they didn't
that.
At the time, but now I've learned that they always did.
They did. Yeah.
But
they did.
You know, like, whoever comes before
but
you.
But it was all
you
know, attitude that was a part of their movement you know so All Mod Cons jam cover band or tribute band
same thing
and 30 years why is this their last show
I don't know, 30 years seems like a good number.
Yeah, and I think it's so appropriate. They know the story of you and Paul.
Yeah.
I think this is so appropriate, and this is going to be Friday night at Once Ballroom.
It was in the lounge, but we sold that out, and so they moved it to the ballroom.
How exciting.
Yeah.
And there are some other bands on this bill, too. Tell us about the show.
It's the Cretans and Didn't Planet.
We're going to get some Didn't Planet on. I used to have Cretans, and somewhere along the way, that was a CD. I have early Cretans. I haven't received anything from them, but we did receive some music from Didn't Planet, so we'll play them during the show tonight. But we are not done. We do have a Tomorrow the World Act 2 that we're going to play, featuring John Surratt and Dave Minahan's on here. And this is the Act 2 of your rock opera.
Yes, this is, like 3 years ago I released Tomorrow the World, the punk rock opera by John Surratt. This is Tomorrow the World Act 2, much like the Kinks Preservation Act 2.
Right.
You know, the concept records, rock operas.
Well, the first one was phenomenal.
This is even better so far.
Really? So, and tell us a little bit about this.
Yeah, the singers or the main characters are played by me, Johnny Blazes, Valerie Forgione, and Martha Maron. David Minahan... Neighborhood's replacements on lead guitar, backing vocals, and synth. Drums, we have Brian Biglioni from the Dresden Dolls and Smitty Smitty of Smitty Smitty and the Fez Jones. Keys, Joel Simkeys. And sax, Neil Sugarman from Boys Life / Amy Winehouse / Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings.
Did Neil play with Amy Winehouse?
Listen to the album with Rehab on it.
Wow.
It's all him.
How did I not know that?
And he arranged it, too.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. That famous, you know, the big album.
Yeah.
It's the Dap Kings. That's his band. He runs Daptone Records out of New York.
And okay.
Just on Charles Bradley and Sharon Jones and...
Yeah,
wow. That's Neil. Neil's played with Prince, Dylan... It's unbelievable.
So proud of him. I've known him since he was a little boy, too.
Yes. And his brother, Jeff... Who passed away.
Yes.
Was in the Prime Movers.
Yes. Jeff was a wonderful.
Yes.
Wonderful
Loved
guy.
Jeff.
And so this is the lineup you just named is all about Tomorrow the World, Act 2.
Act 2.
And what is this based on? This is a rock opera, and what is the storyline?
It's about a punk rocker who dies, he comes back, and along the way he's saved by Mary, Mother of God, and he's a superhero, and he has to save the world. Part one ends on kind of a bad note. Part two ends on a worse note because everything, thanks to things that are going on today,
right,
I get to destroy the world.
Interesting.
And then Then rehatch it.
Okay, so this is a sequel.
Yes.
Then, and there will there be an act three?
I don't know, but hopefully we're in talks about it being presented at some point theatrically, like with actors and, you know, on stage.
Yeah.
Total production.
Very exciting. And you are going to be performing not just Boys Life, but Tomorrow the World songs as well.
No, I'll be doing Friday 2 Boys Life songs and Private Hell by the Jam.
Okay. Oh, this is wonderful. I'm so excited. And I want to thank you so much for joining us. John Surrett here in the WAS studios with us of Boys Life and Tomorrow the World. And was there anything else you wanted to add before we play Tomorrow the World Act 2?
Nope. The song is called Go Cruisin'.
All right. John, we love you.
We love you.
John Surrett of Boys Life and Tomorrow the World. We're going to play a song called Go Cruisin'. Ah, such good stuff. Check it out. And once again, go see John Surrett.
Friday night.
Yes.
8 o'clock, Doors, Once Somerville.
There you go. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tomorrow the World, Part 2. Go Cruisin', 107.3 WAAF, Bay State Rock.